pressing play. We do thank you, young Padawans.
Hey everybody, thanks again for pressing play and joining us. In this episode of Nerd Nostalgia, you'll catch Brian, Trey, and myself, Irvin, chatting about the final installment of the Star Wars saga, Rise of Skywalker. Be warned though, there are spoilers in this episode. So if you haven't seen the movie, I'd press stop, go watch the movie, come back and press play, or just go tune in to one of the other episodes. For this episode, you'll catch us chatting about the directors and how they kind of switched often, characters and how they were used. We'll discuss the future of the franchise and the movies that'll come and some of the series that are also on deck. We'll talk about the themes of the movies and how those were incorporated into all of them. We'll discuss the Knights of Ren, our favorite and least favorite parts, and finally, our overall thoughts and final rankings in the entire Star Wars 1 through 9 saga. Also, a quick favor, guys. If you could head over to Facebook and like our page, Nerd Nostalgia Podcast, it's exclusively for our followers. It'll ask you a few questions and then allow you into the group. You'll also find us on Instagram at nerd.nostalgia and on YouTube at Nerd Nostalgia Podcast. If you have a iPhone, iPad, or Mac device, please go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes and leave us a rating. It'll still help us out. Leave a comment and tell us how we can get better or what you like and don't like about the podcast. It's definitely going to help us improve and get better content that you guys want to hear and discuss. Thank you so much. Again, you guys are awesome. As always, before we get started, here's a quick clip for you to enjoy.
He could actually fucking kill you.
Yeah, because he was a Marine.
He's a fucking Marine.
Is that Semper Fi?
Yeah. Thank you for serving, because I know you're listening.
Kylo Ren, actually, this is, it's not an endorsement by him, but he's personally told us this is his favorite podcast.
What's up, everybody? It's Irvin here again. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Nerd Nostalgia. On today's episode, you will catch us reviewing Rise of Skywalker, the latest installment in the Star Wars saga, the trilogy of trilogies. Of course, you have myself, Trey.
Hello.
And Brian.
Yes.
Yes, that's how he greets y'all.
It's usually no.
It's usually no, so we're improving. We are improving. So yeah, we're going to jump into the review of Rise of the Skywalker. It's been a couple weeks now, enough time for people to really go watch it. And there are going to be spoilers, so spoilers ahead. If you haven't seen it, please go to a different episode and listen to that. We have spoilers in this. We're going to be discussing it in its entirety. That said, who's going to start it off? Trey? Brian?
Well, you said it's like in its entirety from what I can remember of it.
Fair.
It's been a few weeks, but it was also like even after I had just watched it, there was a lot that happened. There's a lot to fit into one movie. And I think that like in our previewing episode, whatever you want to call it, we kind of discussed that it's like you've got 42 years of stuff to fit into one movie, and if you're not gonna do pull a James Cameron and make it 3.5-4 hours, then it's gonna be hard to do. And it was.
So let's break this up so we kind of have a little bit of a format here. Let's break it up into the production, cast, a little bit of the dialogue, your favorite parts, qualms, and then we'll finish off with ratings, and we'll just kind of round robin this, round table it, right? Trey, since you did start chatting first, let's begin with you. So the production, we can talk about that. Who produced it? Good old when I say production, you know, directors and things of that nature. So old J.J. Abrams came back for this one. We can kind of discuss that. And that's part of the whole flaws of these is that you switched. I can't remember who made The Last Jedi, but it was a different. It's Chris something, I think. I want to say. Could be wrong.
Rian Johnson.
Rian Johnson. That's what it is. I don't know why I went to Chris.
It was just another white person that you could think of.
I mean, Ben Affleck. You're right.
Matt
Damon.
It goes back to what we discussed before. You have countless directors, 9 movies, 42 years, out of order, no discernible plot from one to the next outside of the original trilogy. At least in the sequel prequel trilogy, so episodes 1 through 3, you at least were leading to something. So you pick a starting point, you develop a story, and you know where you need to get to. This one was just into the future. And so they kind of, let's open up a lot of loose ends and pack them into the last episode. Who is Rey? Is Kylo Ren shirtless again? Is there going to be a giant space battle that they teased their ass off and then didn't really happen? Or not to my liking, anyway.
It's more of a low orbit battle.
Yeah, I mean, you got all the resistance fighters floating up there, ready to do combat with however many Star Destroyers that now have planet-killing capabilities, and you couldn't dock them in space?
So they're called Star Destroyers, but they're all just Death Stars.
Right, they're Star Destroyers with Death Star capabilities.
Star Destroyers.
Yeah. Yes.
Why didn't we call them that?
But yeah, I mean, it's again, and this is kind of a shout out to a coworker of mine. He's a huge fan.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I just thought about this. You know the scene at the very beginning where Palpatine's like, "All right, so all of a sudden I've got this army, and then all these Star Destroyers shoot out of the icy crust of the planet." How fucking funny would it have been? If instead of them being a bunch of little Star Destroyers, like a whole bunch of little Death Stars popped out. And so you have like 1,000 little baby Death Stars shoot out of the planet.
I wouldn't put it past whoever actually thought up of the idea that like that actually was what they thought of. And they were like, oh, it's too close to home. Let's make them pointy instead of round.
But like think about it. Like if essentially what you're doing is it's a space station that can explode planets. Why not just make them all balls? Like, is there a tactical advantage to them being cheese-shaped?
I don't know how space works, but I know how
planes
work, and usually they're all triangle-shaped for...
Space doesn't matter.
If you're traveling at faster than light, it doesn't matter how aerodynamic you are. It's about your faster-than-light engine. I think. Again, it's all bullshit, but...
Let's continue this physics conversation about a made-up fictional world.
Yeah. But, okay, I challenge you. Sit there and think about the idea of like, 1,000... baby Death Stars popping out of the planet, and that not being kind of like a funny little image to think of.
It is.
Yeah.
But, promised kind of a huge space battle, and that didn't really happen. Directorially, I think the best was done with what could be done. Man, that's all I got for directorial.
Yeah, for the directorial purposes, okay. Brian, what do you think?
So what's the call of the question? So was it directed by J.J. Abrams? Yes. Okay. End of story. What's the call of the question?
The big thing was that what Trey was talking about is that it switched, basically. We had J.J. to start off with, and from what I read, he just kind of wanted to do that one-off, and then we switched over to...
White guy,
Ben Affleck. Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
That's terrible. I can't remember his name.
You just did. That was the very thing you just did.
Oh, yeah. All right. Just patted myself on the back. And then we had to switch back to J.J. Abrams because The Last Jedi was just fucking horrendous. Even though now I haven't seen it lately after seeing The Rise of Skywalker, like kind of looking back, I think it makes a little bit more sense.
It does not.
But it's still not a good movie.
It is. That is correct.
But yeah, that was pretty much the big topic that I wanted to discuss off of that, so we can definitely switch into the cast and talk about them a little bit. Brian, go ahead.
John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, Oscar Isaac, Dom Hall Gleason, all are cast members in this movie.
Ding, 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 you got it correctly. Yes, those are all cast members. I think Trey was going to bring up a good point about, what was her name, Rose Tico, and what's her actress name? Her government name?
Kelly Marie Tran. And I guess my statement was like, you know, where did she go? Like, you understand the limitations of Carrie Fisher for obvious reasons. And I think they did okay.
For what they had, I think.
Yeah, for what they had.
They were able to pull enough to make it work.
To keep her relevant within the story. But yeah, like, you know, where did she go? And
Why was there no Tiny Yoda? Like, you know, things like that. Like, there's a lot that the... I can't talk about cast without, like, kind of what we were alluding to before, like, Kelly Marie Tran and John Boyega having a connection, Last Jedi, and then that completely being dissipated. So you think, okay, cool, John Boyega and Daisy Ridley, Ridley, Ridley. Cool, they're gonna hook. You know, that's good. And then she kisses Broody Broodface?
That was weird.
Total weird.
That was weird. And that's one of the things that... Right afterwards, when we talked, right after the movie itself, we thought that they could have delivered what they were trying to express as like that sense of love and that connectedness and
way differently.
They could have done it without the kiss or a fucking kiss on the cheek or on the forehead even. Like a forehead kiss would have been perfectly
fine. Touching foreheads.
Yeah, would have been perfectly fine.
No lips involved.
They didn't need to romanticize it. And I actually read an article that it said that it was like a last minute judgment call thing. Like they didn't know if they were going to write it in or write it out.
You blew it.
Ultimately, they decided to. And I was like, terrible fucking choice. You chose poorly. Like, that was a shit choice. I hated that.
Great Last Crusade reference. All right, okay, I'll talk about the cast. I'll be less shitty about it. The biggest strength this movie, I would say the trilogy had, was that John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, Oscar Isaac had great on-screen chemistry together, all three of them. Any one of those three people could have paired up and had a good romantic pairing. Frankly, I thought in the first movie that John Boyega and Oscar Isaac were going to fall in love. They fell in love on screen for me.
The bromance was strong in them.
The bromance was strong in them. And so I think that, and that was the coolest part of the movie, but the problem was that they didn't really utilize all three of them together until this movie. And so what you should do with a story like this is you show how cool and cohesive and dynamic they are as a group, which they did in the last one. And then for the later iterations, you split them off, you have them interact with other people. So, you know, you could have had Daisy Ridley go off and be her own defined character interacting with other characters. But really all she did in the second movie was hanging out on an island with a bunch of porgs and sad old man Luke. So she didn't have any character, like her most of her character interaction in the second movie was with a guy light years away, right? Yeah. And so same thing. I mean, who was John Boyega's dynamic interaction with? It was with an unlikable character because Rose Tico just is kind of a stupid character. Like that's her problem, is she's a stupid character. Her character is defined by, I like my sister and I don't like escapees.
It was an unnecessary role. I mean, but again, switching directors, I think that was part of the problem.
Well, but it's not even a director problem. It's not understanding how the characters work well with each other or with other characters. I mean, think about the original trilogy. What they did was they set up the nice trio of Luke, Leia, Han, and then they split them off. And then you've got Luke hanging out with his weird frog person on Dagobah, and then you've got Han, who is kind of a shoot from the hip, kind of cavalier kind of guy, hanging out with, who becomes more clearly sort of the uptight, like, well, I've got to follow regulations, Princess Leia. And it's how those two interact, the rogue and the leader. And that was interesting character interaction, and they were all having to kind of bounce off of 3PO being a whiner, and also the unspeaking characters of R2 and Chewie. And again, you just didn't have... you didn't really have the good character interaction until the third movie. And so they could have started with that and had a really tight group of well-defined characters that then split off and then had other cooler interactions. But again, who was Poe interacting with in the third or the second movie? Purple hair lady. Who cared? All she was telling him was...
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, he was hanging out with Laura Dern. And that whole interaction went like this. Hey, Laura Dern, I'd like to do a variety of very reasonable things like increasing troop morale. Shut up, you're just a stupid. And that was boring. And that's why the casting, it was the best part of the movie, but it was also, you wonder why they didn't use that earlier.
I really like them too. Like, like as individuals, mm-hmm. I like them. Yeah. But to all your points, I think you're hitting it on this.
Next topic.
Trey, anything to add?
What about the little guy?
What was the little guy? Bubble Freak!
Yeah.
I think his name was the Arkillian because he was stolen out of Men in Black.
Touché.
Nice. Yeah. Hufflepuff redeeming himself. Look at that.
Evil. Give me them 20 points back, bitch.
Evil 3PO.
I thought 3PO actually did pretty good this movie. They overdid it, but like he had a lot of funny one-liners. You're like, ha, that's pretty funny.
Underutilized BB-8.
BB-8 kind of took a back seat to the old school droids this time around. Whereas in the first one, in Force Awakens, he was like front and center.
Front and center with his antics.
Yeah, but I really liked 3PO's like one-liners in this. Y'all remember those?
I don't remember the one-liners verbatim, because like for 42 years you've kind of been annoyed by 3PO.
Yeah,
and was nice to kind of be like, oh, but he's gonna lose all of his memories again, because he was wiped already.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, was the quote-unquote sacrifice of him wiping out his memories when he got rid of his experiences with Han and Chewie, and because all R2 that got wiped out. Friend. Yeah, but one, wasn't he shut off for a while? No, that was R2 that was shut off in the first one. But
yeah. He was in like low power mode or whatever. Yeah.
But that seems to be kind of his character trait, which is that he goes through all these experiences and then he becomes a blank slate.
They wiped him
a couple times.
I think they've been wiped before, so like they don't like they're pretty much the heroes of the story. So
they've been through it all, right?
Literally, yeah.
But that's what's interesting is that they both wiped his memory and then they rebooted him.
Yeah.
Up until a certain point. And that kind of, like, one, it wasn't really a sacrifice because it was not the first time
he'd done that. It took away from it.
But it's like, okay, just let him be a brand new thing. And then, you know, it opens up to the next trilogy, which there will be one of. 3PO can be there too, and he can be experiencing it again with fresh eyes.
Right.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
And R2 and BB-8 and...
Yeah.
Even, like, I don't know how fresh can you go? Still keeping it in the same universe? Do you go pre?
Actually, yes. They're going to do...
Nice the Old Republic?
Yep. It's going to be called like the High Republic, or it's supposed to be set in the High Republic, which it's about 400 or 500 years prior to... But the thing is that the only person that's still alive from that time period is Yoda. So he's kind of like in the prime of his life. He's like 30, 40 years old, but...
I thought no, baby Yoda 300.
So you'd be 300 or 400 years old at that
point. What did I just say?
30 or 40.
Oh, yeah,
he's like a... Well, no, I'm sorry. I was already doing the math. So 3 or 400 for them is 30 or 40 for that.
Gotcha. Yeah, because he's 900 in Return of the Jedi.
At this point, I don't even want to see Yoda show me like what a young Yoda looks like, but don't show me what he's doing and stuff. Like, focus it on... other people.
I mean, he could be like, at that point in time, he could be like a Padawan or maybe on the council or something, but not focus on him.
Yeah, that's basically what I want. I don't want the focus to be on him. I still want him to kind of be a mysterious figure. Show me maybe a little bit, like, you know, tease me a little bit, but don't give me the full thrust, you know?
Yeah.
Just the tip. Right, Brian? Just the tip?
I know that game. No, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with going to KOTOR route. You know, Jedi and the Republic in its heyday is cool before you start listening to the Trade Federation. Because it's all based on that, and there's slowly through the years, and this is a lot of non-canon stuff now because of the changeover.
Legends, that's what they call it now.
Legends?
That's what it's called. Which is kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. So, okay, so legends, the legends now are kind of, you bring it back into canon, because some of it still survives. Like, some of it is still
canon. They pull.
Some of it. And so you get, like, those one-offs. Like, I mean, even a creation, like, not necessarily 400 or 500 years, but, like, maybe 4,000 or 5,000, 10,000 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Way back. So, like, the start of the Jedi, the start of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be kind of cool.
So from what I saw in this article, it's going to be 400 or 500 years before the events of episode one, and then it's as the Sith are like jumping into the rule of two, because there was a period where there was lots of them, like as many Jedi as there are Sith, basically, like it was a lot, and then they switched to that rule of two, and so I think that's what they're going to focus on.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense. Well, there's a lot, but
There's a lot that doesn't make sense, but it's like, okay, so, and the rule of two, they established original trilogy, right? Or was that in the prequel trilogy? Okay. So yeah, I mean, fuck it, then, like, it doesn't have to make sense. But by the end of it, so you've got Palpatine in this giant stadium full of Sith. Whether or not that they are actually, like, Sith lords able to wield a lightsaber in the Force and everything, but they follow the Sith. And so, like, that's, like, a multitude of people that, you know, end up getting destroyed in the battle, if you will. And so it's like, okay, then that's bullshit that there are only two.
So, okay, no. So they answered that. So they're, like, for proper Sith, like, dark side Sith versus worshippers of it. So that's what that whole thing is. Like, I was like, where the fuck did y'all get all the metal to make these machines? I was like, who is manning these machines? Why are these motherfuckers red? That's kind of cool. But those were my questions going into it, right? I was like, who the fuck are all these people and like, these, like, ghost figures? At first, I was like, oh, these are just, like, the remnants of the Sith, like the Sith spirits or something like that. But no, they came out and they're like, no, those were actually this specific people. They worship Palpatine. Palpatine had basically been building off of them, but didn't have enough strength to get all of the ships out of orbit or something. I don't know. That I still doesn't make 100% sense to me. I'd probably have to watch the movie again just to really, really comprehend that. I'm gonna have to watch it again. But that's who those people are. They're basically a whole planet dedicated to the dark side and the Sith, but they're not dark side sensitive or anything along those lines. Brian?
Where do you want the next? Because it's inevitable.
I was thinking about this. The original trilogy, the big story, like the global story, I guess, is a scrappy band of rebels defeats an empire. The fall of tyranny, the fall of whatever. The personal story is, can a man be redeemed, right? Can not only a boy grow up to become a man, but can a fallen person rise up and be redeemed, right? Because it's about Luke finding out who he is, becoming a Jedi. And becoming a Jedi back then wasn't about midichlorian counts or you know, passing your Padawan learner tests. It was about confronting your deepest fear, confronting your father, right? And also it became about taking this fallen Sith Lord Vader and having him choose his family over his allegiance to Palpatine. The prequel trilogy was about how you go from freedom and democracy into tyranny. How do you go from being Germany the Republic to Germany the Third Reich? And the personal story was, how does a sweet little boy like Anakin become the most evil man in the galaxy? How does someone like Palpatine work different factions against each other to become the most powerful leader in the galaxy?
Can I just chime in that you are so great at, like, just describing that kind of stuff? Thumbs up to you, buddy. Well, like, thank you. Really, man. Really good at that. Like, I'm
look
like,
at the sunshine.
I'm like, he says what my mind thinks. I'm like, that's so nice. I was like, I can't do that. That's very good.
I would all Red Letter Media.
Continue. Look at that. Look, maybe that master's literature degree is coming to use.
Who knows?
It's the world studies in Star Wars.
Too much of my life has been dedicated to this.
If there was a master's program to fucking Star Wars, I would...
I'm sure there is.
I mean, I wouldn't not join.
Disney's probably building one to get more of our money.
Yeah.
Come to the college... That's what the College of Star Wars is. Or the Avengers College. But and so this is all to say that if you think about that kind of narrative arc for both of those trilogies, and then you kind of look at the sequel trilogies, I don't know that I can tell you what they're about. Because I guess on one hand, you're talking about the arc of Kylo Ren going from wanting to be Darth Vader, wanting to get rid of Darth Vader as his mentor, to then he's good at the end because his mom said his name before she died. Like, I don't know what he's trying to reconcile with.
No. Well, he's trying to reconcile with himself. While he's kind of the complete opposite of what Anakin was. Anakin was always more bad than he was good. And he fought to be good, but his inner nature came out. Whereas I always felt that Kylo was more good than he was bad, but he was trying to be bad. and eventually there that ended up winning out.
I see what you're saying, but that only works if you ignore The Last Jedi, because you saw him struggling with wanting to be bad, wanting to worship his grandfather, and then he ultimately was still wrestling with that in the last movie, and ultimately the love of his mother and her sacrifice was what pushed him over the edge to realizing that he really was good deep down. But that also ultimately ignores the middle movie, The Last Jedi, where it kind of explains why he turned into an asshole, which is that he's trying to learn how to be a Jedi, he's struggling with everything that the teenagers struggle with, temptation, hormones, that sort of thing. And his uncle walks inside with ill intent, takes out his blade, raises it above his nephew, prepares to strike upon him, and then the walls fall down. And I mean, that's going to piss anyone off. That's going to make anyone turn to the dark side. So that's why I don't think the whole incongruity of the new trilogy is confusing, because you don't really, no one's really going anywhere. Rey wanted to find out where she came from. Then it turned out it didn't matter. Then it turned out, okay, it turns out you were evil all along, and you have to overcome your evil. Even though in none of the previous movies did she struggle with her rage, her temptation. Like, that was never a struggle with hers until the very last movie. And then what's the global conflict in the sequel trilogy? Like, tell me, I don't know.
It's the rise of the Empire again. It's the First Order against the rebels,
but they were always overwhelmingly powerful. And again, I don't understand what the conflict was, because it seemed like in the first one, the First Order was the underdogs, and they just happened to have this mega weapon, and then they were unstoppably powerful in the second one, and then they were defeated because the Emperor died as the First Order. But like, the last order fell with the Emperor.
Final Order.
Final Order. Okay, I'm sorry. I got that all screwed up.
Too many orders.
I'm thinking of The Last Watch. Final Watch 2. God damn it.
Yeah. Over to negative 20 points, Hufflepuff.
Back to zero.
We need to tally that. We need to find a way to
It's just like,
no, just be. It'll be for us.
It's like, whose line is it anyway?
No, it's a million bajillion points.
No, it's the points don't matter.
But does that make sense? Like, my concern is that like, if you take the trilogy as a whole, like, what is it trying to say? What has it said? Can y'all figure out?
It's the convoluted story of the life of Luke Skywalker and the repercussions of him simply being.
Or not fulfilling his destiny, maybe?
I mean, yeah, because there was never really a clear cut. Like, there was speak of a prophecy, there was talk of a prophecy, but I don't think anything was ever clear cut, like, these are the exact words that were used, like, within the movies. I mean, it could be,
I was gonna say,
like, it's probably out there. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, within the movies, because I am not going down that rabbit hole.
You know me.
Yeah, nope. I ain't doing it.
Okay, well, and let's talk about the prophecy. Nowhere in the original trilogy was there talk of a prophecy. All they talked about was that the Force was that thing that bound all, living organisms together. Okay,
yeah, fine. Yeah, yeah.
And then in the prequels, it's like, oh, he's the one that will bring balance to the Force.
But the chosen one, Annie.
Yeah, but what they don't explain to you is the Force out of balance? Like, is there some problem with the Force that needs to be fixed? And so the idea that there's a chosen one that's going to correct a problem only makes sense if you understand what the problem is. But what's the imbalance of the Force that was in need of correction? What's the balance?
There's too much dark side and not enough light.
Well, but that doesn't make any goddamn sense, because they didn't have Sith for like 1,000 years by that point.
Well, they did. They were in the they were in the rule of two or whatever. So they were there, and so technically you could argue that was the imbalance, that it was too many Jedi and not enough Sith.
That rule, because apparently Snoke was Palpatine was. 3 was Kylo was, what the fuck happened to the rest of Kylo's like people that he ran off with?
Knights of Ren. And so that's a really good point. What I interpreted from that was that, so the Knights of Ren in the Legends was all the people that he ran off with. They were all his like buddies from the Jedi Temple or whatever, right? So they were force sensitive, but they didn't finish their training. Kylo was the best of the best, and so he was further along, and then he was deeper in the dark side. And so the Knights of Ren were all his boys from
so
that.
So like he was the best of the best, the only one capable of creating a bullshit lightsaber.
In this, exactly, exactly. And then
you don't like his lightsaber?
And then in this,
no. I mean, theatrically, is it cool? Like, I mean, it's like, okay, there's the lightsabers in the original trilogy, which are awesome. You know, blue, green, and red. Then in the prequel trilogy,
motherfucking purple.
No, episode one, double-bladed lightsaber.
That was dope as fuck.
And that, you know, you lose your freaking head over the double-bladed lightsaber. That's awesome.
We were 10 at the time.
It's still pretty fucking cool.
It's still fucking cool.
Because we remember being 10 at the time.
I did like Darth Rey. I don't even know what to call her. In her like flashbacks.
She had a double-bladed.
Her struggle against the dark side or whatever.
It's like a flash sideways almost.
Yeah, I don't know what to call it, right? She has the double-sided, it's not a double-sided one, it's a, what is it?
It's like a tandem bicycle. But it flips
out. Fucking cool. Yeah, but it flips out. It's a nunchuck. It looked cool. I don't know.
Oh, you know what it is? It's a butterfly lightsaber. It's like a butterfly knife.
That'd be pretty fucking cool.
Oh, wait, no, that's not what it is.
But then, it's a dual-bladed.
Yeah.
And then, so episode...
Nunchucks. That's what they are. They're lightsaber nunchucks.
Yeah. So episode... two, I guess that's probably when you see maces for the first time, which is yes. The purple. And then three, I don't think there was a big reveal of, you had Dooku's maybe?
Dooku's was in the second one and it was the kind of curved.
That was stupid.
Oh, that was cool.
I mean, it's just different. Like, it was different. Like, it was like, okay, yeah, we can
change it up a little bit.
We can make it a little different. But then mace being purple, that outweighs that for sure. And then, of course... the newest trilogy, you've got to add a little bit more to it, so you give it a cross guard.
If you're...
a pointless.
If your crackling. Thumb slips, your thumb goes bye-bye.
Well, I mean, even with a normal lightsaber, it does.
Nah.
I mean, I would never do that with a normal lightsaber. I said, theatrically, cool. But yeah, I mean, he had like the exposed wires on the outside. It's a bullshit lightsaber.
So what I had seen is that he... like, his wasn't... a complete one, and so it was chaos. It was a crack crystal,
crack kyber crystal, right?
And so he couldn't control it, and so that was like his version of controlling it or whatever.
Yeah. No, I mean, like you can explain it away, but like theatrically, it was like, well, what if we gave him a cross guard?
That's exactly.
And then what if we made it sparky?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, and it works, for his character, and
he was very emotionally unstable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As discussed thoroughly by everybody, brooding.
He's a really good actor, though.
I like him.
Such a good. Really good actor. And the like funny him. Thing is, that dude can actually legit in real human in real life.
Human life.
Human real life.
And dog life too.
And in dog life, probably. Sure. Not cat life. He can actually fucking kill you.
Yeah, because he was a marine.
He's a fucking marine.
Is that Semper Fi?
Yeah. Thank you for serving. Because I know you're listening.
Kylo Ren, actually, this is... it's not an endorsement by him, but he's personally told us this is his favorite podcast.
This is facts. This is facts. All right, let's move on here. I think we've covered enough of this, unless y'all have any final points.
Our final points about, like...
Are we done with Star Wars right now? Are we wrapping this up?
No. This portion, about the characters.
Yeah, no, the characters are done.
Yeah. We still have... our favorite parts, qualms, and then ratings/recommendations. So of those three, obviously ratings and recommendations are going to go last, but what do y'all want to do? Favorite parts or qualms?
I want to talk about favorite parts first. Let's do that. Irvin, what's your favorite part of the movie?
Favorite part, not lightsaber battles. I still hold number three as the best lightsaber battle, although on the ocean fucking scene... that was a pretty cool lightsaber battle. They reintroduced a couple things like the force jumps where they can jump really high into the air. That was pretty cool. Favorite parts. There's a lot of good parts in this, I think. I liked the 3PO like one-liners. I thought they were pretty funny. They eventually became too much. Adding in some of the new powers were pretty cool. like the Force heal. We hadn't seen that, and spoiler for you, and I think even you.
Just let it go. We've seen it before, but not to that degree.
Okay, yeah, so that was cool. Didn't care too much for the Force transportation, teleportation, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Like sending objects to the other person, but I guess it works because they're a dyad. So I don't know if I liked that. What was another favorite part about this? I felt like they finished his arc really well, and then him dying at the end, it made sense. He couldn't live. He had to fucking die. You don't kill millions, probably billions of people, and come back and like, oh no, it's cool, guys. My mom was right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, well that, and then my mom was the rebel or fucking resistance leader or whatever it was called.
I'm not Kylo Ren. I'm Ben Solo. Yes, that stupid asshole died back on whatever planet.
Exactly.
It's like you see, he wears his hair this way, and I wear mine this way.
He wore a stupid mask. I wear no mask. So you saw no mask Kylo Ren?
Ooh. I felt like he got his redemption. The one thing that really threw and kind of almost brought a tear to my eye was the Ben, I guess at that point, or Kylo and Han Solo. That little scene, I was like, this is good. This is good. It was two good actors fucking acting with each other, and I really dug it.
I think that's my favorite. To pick a favorite part besides the little whatever.
Babu Frick.
Men in Black ripoff.
And Felicity Jones. How could we forget about her?
I guess you couldn't see her face the entire movie.
But you knew it was her. You saw those eyes. That's all you needed.
That wasn't what I was looking at.
That's all you needed.
That wasn't what I was looking at. Also, I don't think it was Felicity Jones. It's Felicity. Is it Felicity Jones?
I don't remember.
Her name's Carrie Russell in real life.
It's Felicity. I know it's Felicity.
Felicity's the show she was in.
Yeah. What's it's probably not Felicity Jones. I think it's something else.
No, it's Carrie
Russell.
Yeah.
I liked the World War II occupied France planet. That was cool. Oh, we're talking about favorite parts?
Yeah, I'm going to say...
Oh, no, yeah, you're not... Okay, you were in the middle of yours.
I was saying that my... it's Carrie Russell, by the way.
No, what's... We knew that. What's her Felicity name?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's Felicity no Felicity. The show's called Felicity because of her last name, but she was also named after her uncle.
Felicity.
Last name was Felicity. Mm.
And
I never watched it, so you...
I haven't either.
Apparently,
it's a really felicitous show.
Yeah, I think it was pretty big of Harrison Ford to come back just for that little.
He hates making these movies, by the way.
Oh, I know he does.
But you know what he likes more than hating those movies?
The paycheck,
making money.
How much fucking money do you think he got paid to make that scene?
About as much money as Mark Hamill got to make the scene in the first one.
No, I bet Hamill got paid more for that one.
Just to be the last one to hold out his fake hand that wasn't even him.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's just imagine we could be Mark Hamill for a minute. Okay, so
that'd be cool.
You are Mark Hamill, and you're about to do the last scene in The Force Awakens. J.J. Abrams looks at you and says, okay, you're going to turn around and you're going to look and you're going to see a woman who you've never met before, but deep down you understand who she is and you see the promise in her eyes and you see that you have to train her. And that's like the direction that he gives Mark Hamill for that 30 or that 10 second scene. And then you compare that to 2 years later, Rian Johnson or Adam Whiteboy, as Irvin would say.
Ben Affleck
would be described as. He says, okay, Mark Hamill, here's the first scene of the movie. You're going to be looking at Rey, and what you're going to be thinking is, who this bitch is? I want to be lonely again.
But yeah, that's the problem with the multiple directors. I mean, it goes back to the same thing. It's the multiple directors, no direction, no storyline. All of the changes that had to happen because of cast members leaving, mm-hmm. put it nicely, you know, RIP.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, and those are things that happen when you make a movie that, or make movies that span 40 plus years. You can't take all of those things into consideration and, you know, each each director has to have their input and has to...
their stamp on it.
Yeah. And so, like, I think this last trilogy has truly been, at the heart of it, a fan service.
Okay, so what were your favorite parts about that? They did do a lot of fan service stuff.
I mean, they did.
I listed off a bunch, and I probably took some of yours.
Billy Dee King, Billy Dee Williams. I think I did this last time, too.
Yep.
Billy Dee Williams being back in it, back in the cockpit. So him back in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, and just being a part of the franchise again. And it was kind of a cool thing, like, bringing him back. But it was also kind of bittersweet, like, without him being there, without Leia and without Han. And it was kind of really cool to, again, just to kind of call back and, like, actually see him kind of being a little bit upset about, you know, he lost his friends. Like, those are his friends, or, you know, some of his oldest friends anyway at this point. And not really getting a whole lot of interaction with either of them because, you know, one or both of them are gone. I think by the time he comes into it, both of them are already gone, like, the character-wise.
How did he interact with Chewie? I can't remember.
Yes.
Yeah. They hugged, remember, when they first saw each other in the desert Indian festival
thing.
Burning Man concert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burning Man festival, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a good throwback. I mean, including 3PO, including a lot of those things. I still don't know how I feel about the throwback to Palpatine. Like, I feel like that was kind of a dodge or like an out to continuing on. But it was like, here's the original bad baddie, you know, back for the end. And he's been the puppeteer the whole time controlling, you know, the events of this newest trilogy.
This is supposed to be your favorite parts?
No, you said throwbacks.
No.
No, the whole topic of this area was our favorite parts.
Yeah.
I did my favorite parts. I said that Han Solo coming back for that one thing was my favorite part. That was it.
Yeah,
wow. That didn't really have any...
Okay, so Trey just... Okay. Then
Trey jumped right into the shit that he hated.
That's fair.
No, I didn't... No, you said... What was the cool throwback? And I said the cool throwback was having Billy Dee Williams come back. Like, I'm not going to say it's my favorite part, but it was cool to have the throwbacks.
Fair.
And, yeah, and 3PO and all that stuff, like, being, you know, back in the show. And then, of course, having just some of the one-liners and stuff that's been uttered, you know, mm-hmm. I have a bad feeling about this and things mm-hmm. like that. Like,
that was... I liked that.
I mean, that has been in every... That was single
Han's original line. That was cool.
And I'm trying to think straight throwback or like fan service. Fan service is what we were talking about originally.
Mm-hmm. Should we get in the middle at the end?
Yes, that was cool.
So, okay, question about that. Was that his medal or was that, because they're like, here's Leia's medal. Or was that like Leia, like, I'm just splitting hairs at that point, right? I don't know. Continue, Trey. Sorry.
I think that's about it.
Brian, favorite parts then?
Fan service parts, I guess, is what we were kind of adhering to.
I think my... Okay, so this is contrary to Urban, but the I liked...
Thanks.
As much as Rise of Skywalker tried to undo a lot of The Last Jedi... It did honor a couple of parts of it, and so one of my favorite scenes was in fact the part where he reaches back and he grabs the lightsaber, because that honored the expansion of the Force mythology, which is that you can transmit matter through space and time. You know, you saw in The Last Jedi that Rey got a little splash of water on her face, and that was something that Kylo could physically experience light years away. And so I thought that was really a cool way of honoring one of the few things they did honor from the prequels, or from, sorry, the preceding movie. Other favorite parts, I again, just going back to the character stuff, I really liked how they showed the chemistry, the bond that was developed between Rey, Finn, and Poe. I thought that was a really, again, it was just, it's what makes a good story, which is just characters that you like, characters that you like to see around each other, and then ultimately you care about. Because I didn't care about them individually wandering around failing in the second movie, but I did care about what was going to happen to this group of people. What was going to happen to this group of friends, and would Rey's journey take her away from them? It turns out it did. Would the adventures they get into put them in jeopardy of getting hurt or harmed? And that's what I liked about it, was that I actually cared about the bond they showed pretty succinctly in the first 30 minutes of that movie. That was my favorite part, was the expansion of the Force power, but also the bond that was shown.
I respect that. I don't like it, but I respect that.
Well, fuck you then.
Some of it was cool. Like, I think that one scene, I don't know if the Force powers were literally developed for that one scene for him to have it. But it kind of took away from that scene, the fact that he got a lightsaber and they had fucking pieces of metal. Cool. At least give him the Guardian, what were they called? The Emperor Palpatine's Guardian blades or whatever they are. You know what I'm talking about?
The ones that they had, that like the electronic, like that Grievous had, and the...
Did Grievous have it? I don't know.
Grievous
had lightsabers.
But
Grievous...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
His
droids.
Royal Guards. Royal Guards, I think, is what they're called.
Yeah. And the Royal Guards for Snoke had them, too.
Yeah.
That could withstand...
Lightsabers. And so I'm like, give them at least that. But fuck. They fucked that one for me personally. The Knights of Ren with that, but...
Would you prefer if the Knights of Ren had like a lightsaber axe or a lightsaber,
like they did in spear, like Snoke's? They weren't necessarily lightsabers, but they were lightsaber like.
I mean, they were able to repel lightsabers, which is the whole point of a lightsaber,
right?
Yeah, and so I think they should have had that. I think had they had actual like lightsabers or something similar, it would have it would have confused people. Like, who are these other Jedis or Siths? Like, they would have had questions about them with not enough time to answer it. So I felt like that's why they gave them pieces of fucking metal. So, yeah, that definitely was not one of my favorite parts. The Knights of Ren were such a disappointment when they had teased it, and then that's what they gave you. I was just like, all right, not impressed by it. Also, I don't think it was in... I think we got off a tangent at some point, but... They weren't the people that, what I understood from it was, they weren't the people from the Jedi Temple. They were actually like stormtroopers, because one of them...
Converts or whatever. That
yeah, or like they moved up the ranks or whatever.
Decided to follow like his personal guard.
Exactly, because one of them at one point, like they, as the Knights of Ren and Kylo Ren were walking, he turns and looks at the other trooper and he goes, "That's Goals." And so I was like, okay, so that to me meant that they could move up to the rankings to eventually get there, or potentially get there, right? One in a million, or whatever the case may be.
I see.
But maybe I'm off, but that's what I felt that was the case.
I thought the stupidest thing about the Knights of Ren was that they were kind of used to build tension in various scenes, and so, you know, the heroes would be on some planet and then lurking in the shadows were the Knights of Ren following behind them, and then they didn't fucking do anything. Yeah. And then finally it's like, oh, we're here to stop Kylo Ren, the literal person we were here to protect.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't know. Just, what was the point of them following around Rey and Finn and Poe? That didn't do anything. You could have literally had any other Sith agent or Palpatine agent doing that.
Yep.
Also, did the First Order and the Final Order consolidate resources? Then that was never clear to me.
I want to say they did.
No. The First Order was waiting on the Final Order's reinforcements of what should have been Death Stars floating out of spheres
of Death Star Destroyers.
Right. To reinforce them after their pretty much decimation by the free peoples of the universe.
But when did the First Order get decimated? Because they were still occupying worlds and like running the galaxy without the help of the Final Order.
but they were losing slowly. The Resistance was winning.
Was that spelled out? That wasn't.
They were waiting on the reinforcements. That was what was spelled out. Whether or not they were losing, or they just thought they were, I don't know.
I got the consolidation. I got the consolidation thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, Palpatine just said, well, because he had Kylo, and Kylo was the supreme leader at that point of the First Order in his pocket. But he was, you know, his whole thing was galactic search for this space map and to find the Final Order.
Holocrux?
Every time, so when Horcrux. I saw that, you knew where my head was. It's even like...
spelled really similarly, and so I can't remember what it is, because I'm like, is it this one or is it this one? But
yeah, that's enchanted space map.
Yeah,
To find where the Final Order was, which we found out was the Final Order, but then it was broadcast back to the First Order, I guess by Kylo, I would assume, when he found it the first time or originally, and he was like, hey, I've got some bros, you bros and us bros will be bros, and we'll do what we need to do.
We'll do bro stuff, bro.
And again, I guess that doesn't... The reason I didn't understand why that mattered at all, or for that matter, why destroying the Final Order really mattered, was that... There was never a time that I could tell that the First Order was behind. Like, they never appeared to be. It never was clear to me. Like, oh, you know, they're losing ground to the Rebellion. Like, no, they were always like in the first movie. They blew up the Republic. Like, they blew it all up. And then in the second one, they wiped out the Resistance to all but five people who boarded the Millennium Falcon, and so. Do you really need 1,000 Death Star destroyers to win? Who are you oppressing at this point? Tatooine? It's full of a bunch of like.
Well, that's like one of two planets we've seen. Like, there's millions of planets.
Well, yeah, but like the impression you're giving is that there are two kinds of worlds. The two kinds of worlds are occupied worlds.
And desert worlds.
Well, yeah, and like
and burning, slightly occupied
world. But even on the Burning Man world, which is literally like, imagine if there was like 50 Gustapo walking around Burning Man. Like, that's not a world in which I think, well, you know, the Nazis aren't doing that well. You know, they can only afford 50 Nazi soldiers to hang around Burning Man. There should be no Nazis in Burning Man. But there was like 50 fucking stormtroopers at Burning Man in space.
Yeah.
So again, that's why I was like, well, okay. What are the stakes? Like, what's the downside of the Final Order getting wiped out?
So First Order still there. I still have issues with. Okay. Palpatine. No, when the Force Awakens. Basically, what has happened between Episode 6. In Episode 7, where Luke is developing a Jedi temple, Leia is rebuilding the Republic, and things are going well. The Empire has been defeated, and there are remnants of the Empire scattered across worlds of, you know, downed ships and things. How the fuck did the First Order, like, come into being and immediately take back over and become basically the new Empire? When you had all of these people band together and defeat an already in existence Empire. So it's like to me, and kind of going back to your Nazi thing, it's like, okay, the Nazis are in power. The people resist, defeat the Nazis. But then, like, less than a generation later, you have the neo-Nazis that are in power again. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's what made the transition from Force Awakens to The Last Jedi make no sense, is that it seemed like the whole story behind The Force Awakens is, okay, you had this scattered empire, they consolidated all their resources, they basically built this planet Starkiller base, and they use that to cause chaos, but then it gets wiped out. And then they've got to retreat back to the shadows, which is, come back to my planet and learn the rest of your Sith ways, Kylo Ren. Like, that kind of bullshit. And so the expectation is that the First Order has basically just been fucked up. And they got nothing. They've got, like, a remnant of what they had. Even though, like, basically both sides have gotten just bloodied noses to hell. Right. But then in the second one, it's like, oh, the First Order is even more powerful than before? Well, then what was the point of destroying Starkiller Base?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a big... I mean, I guess those are big holes that they leave to be filled by subsequent one-off movies or whatever. And I will say, though, that, like, rewatching everything, and I went in chronological order, which we talked about before, but 1, 2, 3, Rogue One, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I left Solo out.
Star Wars Holiday Special. Battle for Endor.
Yeah.
Christmas Special.
Christmas Special. Or the Life Day Special.
It was the Star Wars Holiday Special about Life Day, which is the Christmas on Kashyyyk. Gotcha. Which is the Wookiee homeworld.
And...
you would know that if you'd watched the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Sorry. I didn't watch any made-for-TV movies, which Solo probably should have been.
It's more of a made-for-TV variety show.
Even better.
Fuck you, Trey.
And I will say that watching 1, 2, 3, Rogue One, 4, 5, 6, I had a brand new appreciation for Rogue One that...
Because
I will say that the first time that I watched it, and I watched, that was one of the only movies that I've been able to watch in a theater in the last several years, went and did it with, we did it the iPick, which is like the nice one, and so yeah. I had maybe too many scotchy scotches drinking, so I didn't, you know, I didn't remember as much. And then I think I even sat down to try and watch it again, but just didn't really get into it. And then doing it in that order, though, I was like riveted, like feel for these characters. I know where they're coming from. I know the shit that they've been through and know what they're trying to get to. And then having that epic Vader, ending sequence in Rogue One, to like flip directly over into A New Hope.
It works so good.
And I heard it was put in last minute.
Really?
Yeah, the Vader sequence at the end was put in last minute in Rogue One.
Was it jarring to see Vader doing backflips and spinning his lightsaber around at the end of Rogue One?
He didn't do any backflips and he didn't spin it around. He just was much more mobile.
To do it like
I think he did throw his lightsaber.
He made
The Force Unleashed.
Yeah.
Doing light cardio, light to super light cardio.
No, he did. He basically was doing sit and be fit.
So yeah, new appreciation for Rogue One after doing it in that order. Will I do it again, like 1 through 9, in any short term? No. That's a lot. That was an undertaking. I mean, I think it took me the better part of a month to get through everything. But there's so many outlying things, and this, you know, Mandalorian now, and then the holiday special, and
Kenobi will be coming out soon too.
Kenobi, but then there's also Rebels
is still going,
and on. Clone Wars, and
that's an undertaking.
Yeah, I mean, like that's what I'm saying. Like there's a lot of material to cover that would just take so much time to accomplish, and
And I think that kind of brings us back to the discussion that we were having earlier about, like, will Harry Potter world, or will Harry Potter still be relevant, or relevant, if I can speak, for some time after its new material will continue to come out for Star Wars. Like, it's inevitable. And I think it's the same thing with Harry Potter. Like, you have a franchise like that, even when JK is no longer at the head of that ship, someone will pick it up and move it along. You know, George Lucas hasn't been at the head of that ship, the Star Wars ship, for how long? And at least the head. I mean, I think he's always been consulted. But I think it's one of those things that, yeah, it'll be around. And so, would I do 1 through 9 again? Yeah. But
once you got to introduce it to old young Quaid,
yeah, I'm thinking
you got to start off. So
15 years.
I'm gonna mod the true way to start it all for a kid is gonna be the Clone Wars, right? The animated series. You start them off with that. They'll be like, "Ooh, this is cool." And you go, "There's a real version," and they're like, "What? Show me." What? And that's when you show them 4. A New Hope.
Wouldn't you want to do chronological, though, and just say, here's the first movie, and then you play episode 4, and they're like, wow.
Oh, you're saying chronologically in order of release.
Yeah. So you do, you know, they're like, wow, Star Wars, Luke Skywalker, and then you're like, you ain't seen nothing yet. And then you pop in the second movie, and all of a sudden, it's Luke Skywalker. You got Han Solo. It's Life Day. They're trying to fucking get their way to Kashyyyk for Life Day. Then you're like, if you thought this movie was fucking good, you know what's up next? A rather disappointing sequel to the holiday special, Empire Strikes Back. It has almost nothing to do with Life Day. Luke Skywalker looks completely different.
Let's cap this off. We've chatted about it. We've talked about the production, the cast. We've talked about our favorite parts, some of our qualms, and out of order and stuff too. Let's finish off with ratings and recommendations. Let's keep it to a minimum here. Let's go 3-4 sentences max.
You're 8 movies in at this point. You gotta finish it.
Okay,
so thumbs up on finishing it.
Okay.
Go in with an open mind.
So where would you rate it? Like 1 to 10 scale?
One being...
Oh, let's go 1 to 9 scale. Where would you rate it? I'm sorry, I see the low-hanging fruit and I have to grab it. I
took my glasses off and suddenly I'm handsome. I'm like
the... How the fuck did you turn your glasses off?
Huh?
Took.
He said took. Oh, took. I was like, what? Okay. Sorry, I've had a few drinks, Brian. Say your mean thought that you want to. I don't want it to be bottled up inside you and then...
It's okay, so it's still better than 1 through 3.
Yeah.
It's not better than any of the original trilogy.
In my opinion, but yeah.
And I think The Force Awakens is better just because it was more exciting, like, because it's, you're back into the universe. So out of 9, that puts it at 5.
Yeah, a lot of people rank it right in the middle. Okay. Brian? Or do you want me to go?
I'll go. J.J. Abrams is really good at making roller coaster rides in the sense that I enjoyed watching the movie. It was a lot of fun. I had some really high highs and some really low lows. It was a thrilling experience. But it was a roller coaster ride, so I didn't walk away with much more than a thrilling experience. So yeah, Trey's absolutely right. You're not going to not watch it if you've seen the first eight. You're committed already. And if you've never seen a Star Wars movie, this is not going to be the one that makes you think, oh, this is the franchise that I want to commit to. On the whole, there are more bad Star Wars movies than there are good ones. What are we going to do?
So where would you rate it then?
Scale of 1 to 9?
Yeah.
1 Ewok to 9 Ewoks. How many Ewoks does it get?
Well, in this case, less Ewoks is better, right?
That's a golf score. I would say, only because the rest of the Star Wars franchise is on the whole terrible, it's average or better than average.
So 5.
Yeah.
Right there. Okay.
Because I don't think it did anything new. I don't think it was particularly odious in a lot of ways that some of the movies are just profoundly bad. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll compare two terrible movies, Attack of the Clones and The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see, yeah, I'd go. Yeah,
it's coarse. And it gets everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like Rose Tycho.
Don't worry, guys. We had a whole little spiel about that in Star Wars 1-8.
Okay, what's your recommendation and rating?
Y'all know me. I'm ever the optimist. That's just how I roll. I can find the best parts of, and I've said this before, the best parts of the Green Lantern.
Ryan Reynolds was in great shape in that movie.
Ryan Reynolds was great.
He was in great shape.
I don't think he was great. I think he physically looked great.
They also introduced the entire core. That was pretty cool. This is Green Lantern that I'm talking about right now, not Skywalker. Back to Skywalker. where would I rank it?
1 out of 9.
1 out of 9. Okay, so number 1, everybody knows what that is.
9 being the most Ewoks, 1 being the fewest Ewoks.
Or you can go BB-8s.
Oh! Or the 9... What's the new robot called?
That's a new robot?
Coneface robot. That was a key part of the movie.
So...
I don't remember.
He had one wheel and he had a robot like Coneface.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember.
One wheel Coneface.
Was that Abrams? Wasn't that what, like, somebody?
You're saying that J.J. Abrams is a one-wheeled Coneface?
No, he's the voice.
They voiced it, yeah. I want to say it was him.
Bill Hader was the voice of BB-8.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay, let's do it this way. One-wheel Coneface, or all the way up to 9 one-wheel Coneface.
So what this movie has going for it is that it literally caps off 42 years plus of Star Wars. It also comes in with the super low expectations from The Last Jedi. So I came in thinking this was going to be a shitty movie, and I came out thinking, I was like, fuck, that was pretty good. And that they, in 2 hours and 20 minutes, which I've heard has been cut back twice, so there's more screen time, which might make the movie a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
They stuck the landing, so it goes up there for me. And I always had The Force Awakens up there because it combined like old school and new school. I was always like that. So this replaces Force Awakens for me. So it goes in into the top three for me.
So they get what, a 7?
By whatever fucking standards y'all are making, sure, yeah.
Well, you're the one that changed it to 9. It makes it difficult.
I said 1 to 9.
You changed it from 1 to 10 to 1 to 9, and then all of a sudden it was Ewoks, and so that like inverted the scale.
I didn't fucking do the Ewoks. Trey did the Ewoks.
So Trey originally said, oh, it's like definitely a 2, and then all of a sudden 2's like, oh, that's the best fucking movie there is.
But I like the Andorians.
You know, my favorite character, and but me personally, my favorite character, I can't do it. My favorite character in The Rise of Skywalker was Blamblo Gingji.
That's exactly what I fucking knew you were going to say.
Blamblo Blue Blujiga.
On that note, we are going to end it. Thank y'all so much for joining us again. Always, always a pleasure to have y'all.
Blasdo Malmrizian.
I hope y'all enjoyed the podcast today. It's your boy Urban saying, have a wonderful and geeky day. Trey?
No, we'll say no such thing.
Slanjo Blaglisigan. Banjo Fantizian.
And that's Brian. Again, thank y'all so much. Please give us a subscribe. Tell your friends about it. Leave us a review, even if it's a shitty review about Brian. We'll still take it. Thank y'all so much. Have a good night.
Slanto Blan... Nusikian.
I need another drink. I'm out.
Well, you heard Trey's drink clank and Brian's yawn, so you know it's time for us to head on out. Thanks again for joining us. We'll catch you on the next episode. And remember, stay nerdy, my friends.